Hello, friends. This is Ted Marr of Out of This World Radio Show, with broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle here in the United States, and as I like to say, here on planet Earth and in the Milky Way galaxy. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and to make this planet a far better and much happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can do this. We are the fastest growing psychic, spiritual, and UFO radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries. And today's show, I guarantee, will be really out of this world. For the first hour, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., we will be interviewing Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who is one of America's best psychics and most famous psychics. She's authored over 70 books and articles, has appeared many times on Coast to Coast Radio and other radio and television programs. For more information, please see her website at www.visionaryliving.com, or you can also see find her description on my webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. This is a pre-recorded interview I did last week with Rosemary, and we'll be playing that here for the first hour. During the second hour, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time, Michiko Hayashi, who's the director of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, and Kristen Hoffman from New York City will be on the show live in a very special program dedicated to the life and work of the late Dr. Masaru Emoto. Dr. Yasu Nimoto, Michiko, and Hiro Emoto sponsored what they call the Love and Gratitude Concert, which was held in Tokyo on July 20th, just a few days ago. Kristen sang at this concert. It was very successful, and we'll be dedicating the 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. to this concert, as well as to the Emoto Peace Project and the Children of Fukushima. Before we begin, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma, located at 3802 South Cedar Street in Tacoma. It's just down the street from the Tacoma Mall on 38th Street. The Crystal Voyage is a wonderful bookstore, one of the best in the Seattle-Tacoma area. I urge you to visit it. They will be having a wonderful psychic fair at their bookstore on Saturday, August 1st and Sunday, August 2nd, and I plan to be there giving psychic readings. They have some of the best selection of metaphysical and spiritual books and music, and their energy is wonderful. When you walk into the store, you always feel you're totally uplifted. I've been at their store many times, and I urge you to visit them. Their phone number, if you'd like to call them, is 253-272-4367. Also, tomorrow on Saturday, July 25th, I will be giving psychic readings at the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Fair in the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. The event goes from 10 a.m. to about 4 p.m., and the admission is free. In addition, on September 11th, 12th, and 13th, I will be hosting a visit to James Gillian's UFO Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington. I will be broadcasting my radio show live from the UFO Ranch on Friday, September 11th, and also we'll be doing readings and channeling during the event and giving a special lecture on UFOs on Saturday, September 12th. There are vortexes on the ranch into other dimensions, and people will also be able to get free readings during the event, as well as to see UFOs and contact the spirit world. There's also a very special and unique spirit tree where trees can actually talk to you and help you and heal you. This is a very special event that's out of this world that you will not want to miss. I hope you can all come. The other thing, too, about this area is that there are Sasquatches who do live on the property and who sometimes appear. To register, you can use PayPal with this email address, outofthisworld1150.com. The cost is just $99 for the weekend. You can also send a check or money order to me at Ted Marr, 1347 Deerbrush Drive, Southeast Olympia, Washington, 98513. You will want to bring your cameras if you come, because I guarantee you'll see UFOs, and I guarantee this event will be truly out of this world. For more information, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me at 509-750-9793 or 1-888-879-8339, which is toll-free within the United States and Canada. Information about this event is not yet on the website, but it will be probably by Monday. And the website at my website address again is www.outofthisworld1150.com. I've also started a new spiritual mentoring program. I will give people two full readings a month for $100 a month, and for $500, I'll give people two full readings a month for 6 months. I've been in touch with the other side for 21 years, and my accuracy rate for readings is between 90 to 100%, and I can help people with relationships, past lives, career choices, and contacting friends and family who've passed on. I can also teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to do this, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and again, I can be reached at this telephone number here in the United States at 509-750-9793. For those who use Skype, my Skype address is Tedmahr OTW Radio. That's T-E-D-M-A-H-R O-T-W Radio. Before we begin, I'd also like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including Brady's Oysters in Westport, Washington, the wonderful Tokeland Hotel in Tokeland, Washington, Orion Tech Computers located in Bend, Oregon, and the New Renaissance Bookstore in Portland, Oregon. Out of This World Radio is supported entirely by donations, and if you'd like to donate, please go to our webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I'd like to now go to our pre-recorded interview we had with Rosemary Ellen Guiley last week. She is one of America's best psychics, and I hope you enjoy this interview. Well, Rosemary, thank you so much for coming on today. You know, I've heard so much about you. I've listened to you on Coast to Coast, and I consider you one of America's best psychics, and I'm so happy that you could come on today.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, Ted.
Thank you, Rosemary. Now, we met down at the UFO ranch, James Gillian. Did you yourself, just curious, see any UFOs when you were there?
Well, I did not, but my sky-watching hours were rather limited. You know, I didn't stay out until real late like some people.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see some anomalous lights around the mountain, but
sure.
Like way out in the sky where... You know, you're more into open sky. I didn't see anything that I thought was anomalous, but you know, many people have over the years. So this is my second trip to the ranch, and I did see anomalous lights around the mountain before.
Mm-hmm.
But again, nothing that that personally I would consider to be anomalous in the open sky.
Well, I have to tell you that I did actually see when I was there. I was there a few days before then. With a group of really nice Japanese tourists and people from Australia doing a film of James's ranch. And not only did we see the lights going in and out of the mountain there, but also James invited us out to his prayer circle where he asked some benevolent ETs to come down. And I personally saw seven different Pleiadian orbs, which he said, James said, came from a fifth or sixth dimension Pleiadian craft that was half yellow and half pinkish reddish. And I saw the orbs. They were about 4 or 5 inches across. They visited everyone around the circle, and then when they came into me, there was a psychic from Australia next to me, and she said she saw a lot of pink light coming from my heart, and then the rest of my body was completely covered in magenta and purple, and they did some healing on me. And the reason I mention that is because I'd had a really busy last couple of weeks before that, and I needed some energy, and I felt like I just drank 10 gallons of coffee afterwards. I was feeling really good. And what's funny is that I went to a psychic fair last weekend up near Seattle, and I have a friend of mine there who does spirit drawing. She said, "Well, Ted, why don't you? You've never done this before, and I promise you, I draw it. So let's do one." So we started drawing this spirit drawing, and automatically the same Pleiadians, apparently that I had connected with at James's ranch, came in, and they were flying. She kept seeing spacecrafts and the Pleiadians coming around, so they're still around me. But I appreciate their help, and it's nice to have friends in high places.
Well, there are all sorts of anomalous activities that go on at the ranch, and they're all interdimensional. It depends on what you tune into.
Mm-hmm.
Your description of the orbs sounds more like land-based things to me than since I take it they didn't fly in from the open sky.
They did come from the open sky.
Okay.
Yeah, they did. Well, this is what James, this is the message that James gave. He said that they don't have a physical form in the third dimension, but they do. They do have a form in the fifth and sixth dimensions, and they appear as orbs to us. So I saw the orbs come down from the sky, and they were visiting all of us in this prayer circle, and it was fun. I really enjoyed it. Actually, I've been feeling pretty good ever since that time. So,
well, that's a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it was my second time to the ranch, and I'm going back there tomorrow night with a famous spiritual healer from Japan named Ray Chandran. He's doing a series of workshops later this week in Seattle, And I promised him I'd take him to the ranch, so we're going tomorrow night. So that should be fun. Should be very interesting.
Well, maybe you'll have some follow-up.
I think so. I'm getting a yes. Which would be nice. It's a ways to drive there, but it's fun. It's for people listening, it's right at the base of Mount Adams in this beautiful field, and the action starts at night after 10 p.m. during the summer when you start seeing the lights show up. But you can see them through the naked eye, but it's always better if you have night vision goggles so you can look up in the sky and track them as they're flying around. But Rosemary, I wanted to ask you, how did you ever become interested in the psychic phenomenon and doing the work that you're doing now?
Well, I'm like a lot of people in the field. I had very early interest when I was young,
mm-hmm.
and they seem quite natural to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're small, you think that everybody shares the same pool of experiences that you do.
Sure.
And you get older, you realize that that's not so, especially when it comes to the realm of the paranormal,
mm-hmm.
that people have different affinities to it, different abilities to perceive the paranormal.
Sure.
And that it's not the same for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that really piqued my curiosity at a very early age in terms of what's going on, because all of these things were very real to me. I considered them part of my reality,
mm-hmm.
not my imagination.
Sure.
It was hard for me to understand skeptics who
mm-hmm.
wanted to convince me that it was all in my head, it didn't really exist,
sure.
when in fact I knew otherwise, as
sure.
did other members of my family.
Mm-hmm.
So those were some of the important early influences on me. And as I got older, being naturally oriented toward research and writing and reading, my personal interest eventually became my professional interest. I merged my ability for writing with my interest in these topics. So it's been a very rewarding path for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of both personal and professional discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets ever deeper. You know, you never arrive at the final ultimate answers to all of these questions. There's always another mystery around the next corner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of what keeps me going.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. One thing that I noticed when I was there, not when we were both there for the UFO conference, but the weekend before when James brought his night vision goggles out, were the tremendous amounts of orbs just floating around in the darkness, and that you couldn't see them except for the night vision goggles. And I think those were probably spirits just floating around, and it almost looked like you were in a snowstorm. It was just amazing, because I know I've been told, of course, that the spirit world is vast and that there's so many different spirits there in the fifth and higher dimensions. But to actually see it through night vision goggles is just an incredible experience.
Well, a lot of people have very moving experiences down there. And, you know, the land there has a long history of paranormal activity, even going back before the time of the East Seti Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain areas around the planet that seem to magnify mm-hmm. paranormal phenomena, or the ability of things to manifest. And some of them are literally doorways between dimensions where beings seem to have an easier time accessing our reality, and for us too, the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole area down there around Mount Adams has that sort of profile. And it doesn't surprise me that when people go, especially with the you know, on a pilgrimage or a journey to have some sort of spiritual experience, that they're going to be mm-hmm. able to connect with something.
Sure, that's right. That's right. Hey, I was wondering, have you been down to Mount Shasta in that area? I've heard that's another portal too. I haven't been down there personally, but I'm just curious.
Well, you should definitely make plans to go, Ted, because it's a very powerful portal area.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I have been there a number of times,
mm-hmm.
and I've spent time walking around the trails in some of the areas where there have been histories of people having encounters with various beings. I've explored some of the caves in the area and gone to the waterfalls where fairies are present. And it is an enormous, what you would call a portal area. So many experiences that have been reported there over the decades, including Shasta being an entry point to the Hollow Earth. And the Hollow Earth has been a theory that's been around for centuries, the fact that we're literally living on the outer part of a shell and that there's another entire Earth on the inside. Both for scientists that point out that the Earth is molten on the inside, and so they rather laugh off this idea. But if you look at it from the perspective of the Hollow Earth being another dimension, it can make total sense.
Sure.
And if you have the right interdimensional doorway, just like going through, our ancestors would go through an interdimensional doorway down in, seeming down into the Earth to visit fairyland, then accessing the inner Earth can make complete sense. And this is said to be a realm populated by a variety of beings and lost civilizations and cities. There have been many ascended master contacts on the trails around Mount Shasta. And I was always intrigued by the story of Guy Ballard back in the 30s. He was hiking in Panther Meadow and had an encounter with a young man who revealed himself to be the Saint Germain, the Ascended Master Saint Germain.
Oh, wow.
And that began a whole series of teachings and enlightenment for Ballard, and you know, he was taken into these otherworldly areas. And what resulted from that was a spiritual discipline, literally a religion called the I Am Religion, which has its headquarters in the town of Shasta today. And it involves a whole philosophy, which includes sound and the use of mandalas and yantras to alter consciousness. And I highly recommend that anyone who makes it to Mount Shasta stop in the town of Mount Shasta and go to the I Am headquarters. And they have a listening room there where you can listen to music that comes from the ethers, that is intended to transmute consciousness, as well as Ballard's books. He wrote a number of books on the I Am discourses under the pen name of Godfrey Ray King. And it's material that still holds up today. And all of that came from Mount Shasta experiences.
Well, that's really incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that. Actually, I will be going there from August, I believe it's the 19th or the 23rd, 24th. I'll be part of the UFO conference there, sponsored by Rob Potter, and I'll be one of the speakers. But I haven't been to Shasta before. I've driven past it many years ago, but never stopped and explored the area. So,
like Mount Adams, you'll find it to be a very powerful energy center.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, I've actually been told that there's a Lemurian city, too, beneath Mount Shasta.
Yes, that's part of the lost civilizations. It's also been linked to Atlantis, an underground city called Telos.
Wow.
And if you just, even if you just browse around on the Internet, you will find many accounts from individuals who've gone to Mount Shasta and have had encounter experiences, and some of whom say that they have been taken into this underground hollow earth area. It's a fascinating place, and brings up a lot of questions about, you know, these boundaries between dimensions, our reality and other realities, how we can access them, and who's in them, and how we can interact with them and gain more knowledge from what they have to teach us.
Sure. Well, that's really fascinating. I can't remember, Rosemary. I listened to your lecture. It was so fascinating down at the East City Ranch when I listened to it. I also listened to James' lecture as well, and I can't remember whether it was you or James, but you took pictures. Pictures were shown of various rock formations, and you, was it you who pointed out there were spirits in the rocks? It was fascinating. Or was, I can't remember whether it was you or James. I don't remember.
Well, that was me, and in
fact, good. That's what I thought.
Yes, I actually led off the lecture with a couple of photographs taken from of rocks around the East Eddy property.
Okay.
And everything in nature has its own soul. It is ensouled, and there are attendant spirits, but beyond that, there is literally a soul in every form of life.
Fascinating.
And oftentimes our ability to discern these levels of consciousness, they're so subtle that they fall below our radar. And
sure.
If you take time to tune into things in nature, especially if you're in a highly charged area like that, they will show themselves. And I think rocks are some of the most expressive ones. And you can literally capture the personality and the soul essence in a photograph. And so my husband had gone around and taken a lot of photographs on property. He seems to have quite an affinity with the camera in terms of getting things to manifest in image. And so I wanted to share that with the audience. And we've done that in other charged places as well, like Sedona and Shasta, and even some haunted locations where the energy is really mixed. And if you ask, if you tune into nature and ask for the ensouled consciousnesses to speak to you, they will.
Fascinating. That is just fascinating. Now, there were also photographs shown, too, of the, I believe, on Mount Adams, where there seemed to be deities guarding the entrance to the inner earth. I remember seeing the pictures. Was that your pictures, or maybe it was James? I can't remember.
That was James.
Okay, it was just fascinating. Just fascinating.
The two times I've been down there, I've seen these lights on the mountain, where it's just wilderness, and there are no roads, and it's areas that are not accessible to people, and so you wonder what's going on there in terms of are they really doorways to other dimensional realities, and who's using these doorways? But many people do see these strange lights.
Well, it's just fascinating, you know. The world is a lot more than meets the eye. Yeah, I think
Certainly is, and you know, when you can just take time out a bit from the demands of waking consciousness during the day and tune into these things. And that's one of the things that I like to teach in my psychic skills workshop, is, you know, how to shift your consciousness to these more subtle levels so that you do tune into these other presences. And that also enhances your own psychic skill building abilities, as well as providing some very enriching experiences.
Well, it's just fascinating, the work you do, Rosemary. And I have to tell you that as we've been talking here on the air, this entire studio has lit up in this beautiful white light. And I know that I have angelic friends who often come to visit me here in the studio while I'm on the air, and they're visiting us now. So
I guess they're dropping in on our conversation, and they're really liking it.
That's true. They're all nodding their head in agreement, and they're just thanking you so much for being on today. I want to ask you. You probably had this question before, Rosemary, but what's the most incredible experience you've ever had from helping someone out? Like, say, someone comes to you for a reading, and let's say their spouse has passed on, or a relative has passed on, or a pet's passed on, and they've come through with some important messages from the other side. I'm sure you have many stories, but I was wondering if you could perhaps share a story with my listeners.
Well, there are a number of experiences that are very similar in terms of the emotional impact that they have on people.
Mm-hmm.
And making a connection, for example, with someone who has passed on, or even a pet, and for some people it's more the animals than it is the people, because of the unconditional love they've been able to share with an animal.
Right.
Having communication or contact that they know is real, however that can be facilitated for them, it goes beyond words and emotional impact. And what usually happens for the person is a complete rush of energy. First of all, there's a burst of love energy, because you're bridging what had once seemed to you to be an unbridgeable gulf.
Right.
And now you realize that it can be done.
Right.
And then secondly, and all of these things will flood into a person without words. They just come in really like a download.
Right.
The validation, even if you intellectually believe in the afterlife, you get a validation that is so holistic, so emotional, that it's overpowering.
Sure.
And this continuity of life, and some people just transcended and connected through past lives, you know, all sorts of things will come rushing in on them. But the most important thing that people get out of that is this love connection, mm-hmm. that we are always connected to those we love.
Right.
And that connection never, ever dies.
No. That's amazing. That's amazing. I think love is the most powerful force in the universe, Rosemary, and it transcends death, physical death in the third dimension, and it goes on to the other dimensions, too. Just quickly, for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just across the water from Lake Washington in Seattle, Washington, USA. And we're having a fascinating interview today with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who I consider one of the best psychics in the United States, if not the world. And you've going back to what you were just saying, you've seen that love come through other dimensions, haven't you, with people who'd passed on the third dimension but still exist in the fifth and higher dimensions?
They do, and I've experienced it with myself, with family members who've passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, it provided a powerful impetus to me when my father passed away in the early 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
It was a powerful impetus to me to go much deeper into study of the afterlife and how we can bridge the world of the living with the afterlife. And that's been of ongoing interest to me, and I've experimented with many forms of spirit communication, both technology and human-based,
mm-hmm.
and I've worked with other people to help them get that contact experience. A lot of people just simply want closure.
Sure.
Because people don't always have the opportunity to say goodbye.
Sure, that's true.
And having that closure is very important for individuals as well. So a few years ago, I did a book called Talking to the Dead with George
mm-hmm.
Norrie,
mm-hmm.
the host of Coast to Coast. And
sure.
I'm on with Coast, with George on Coast a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, over the years, shared similar interests in the afterlife, and
mm-hmm.
that resulted in this book, Talking to the Dead, where we look at the history of how far have we come in our ability to bridge this interdimensional gap? And we've
mm-hmm.
really come a long way, but we don't have anything yet that science would consider to be hard proof.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really astonishing to me, Ted, is that no matter how hard people work to get good evidence in these fields, and admittedly, it's we're still short of scientific proof, but we have lots of very convincing evidence in support of things.
Oh, yeah.
That sometimes people, you would expect them to embrace the evidence, and instead they turn away from it.
Well,
and there seems to be something in us that really wants to know, but then it's like, well, okay, maybe I don't really want to know. And I believe it has to do with a deep-seated, maybe even unconscious anxiety that the evidence will not support what they've been taught to believe or what they hold fast to believe about the nature of the afterlife and
sure.
what the soul experiences.
Sure.
But I do believe we've made a lot of progress in being far more open-minded in that regard,
mm-hmm.
and that we will have, in the future, reliable communication methods and devices. We will have open acknowledgement that the afterlife exists, and we might even have ongoing working relationships with people on the other side.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. You must be a psychic because you probably anticipated what I was going to say next, and that is I've been in touch with Professor Albert Einstein on the other side for the past 3 or 4 months, and he's been working with his spirit friends, including Leonardo da Vinci and Michel de Nostradamus, on a spirit telephone where we would be able to easily call the other side, and if they so choose, they can answer. We could talk to them as easily as it is for me to talk to you now on the telephone. He's directed me to find a couple of scientists in this third dimension, and I have, actually. It's one of my projects I plan to be working on starting in the next couple weeks, to put the two sides together. He says it's going to be within, Professor Einstein says it's going to be within 10 years you'll be able to do that, so it'll be a clear bridge to the other side. Now, whether it's kind of like a telephone in this dimension, though, if you want to call up Professor Einstein, if he wants to answer, he will. Otherwise, you'll have to leave a message and he'll have to get back to you again.
Afterlife voicemail.
Absolutely, afterlife voicemail. But he is interested in doing that. And he's been feeling a little frustrated. And I think many spirits on the other side sometimes are, because they want to give messages, especially to their loved ones and to humanity too, about things that they see from the other side, which is based in truth and love. But sometimes, unfortunately, the people on this side of the veil, because their belief system does not allow it, exclude it. They push it aside. They don't listen. They don't acknowledge it. But I think part of the job that wonderful job you do, and of course my radio show does too, is to educate people that there are other dimensions. There's no such thing as death. And when a person dies in a physical sense, his or her soul simply travels to the other side and into another dimension. It was about 3 or 4 years ago now, where one night I had asked my spirit family to bring me to heaven, and they did. One night, they took me to it looked like an old hotel in Chicago in the 19th century, and had all these palm fronds everywhere, and the whole hotel was filled with my friends and relatives who passed on, especially relatives, people I'd never met before, but they were all there, and we had like a family reunion for the night. And then when I came back the next morning, my friends, I felt in total bliss for several days thereafter. I didn't really want to come back. It was so nice over there. And my friends said that I had this glow around me, which was really nice. That was about 3 or 4 years ago. They said I can come back. I have to ask permission, of course. And if you use any alcohol or drugs, it interferes with communications. They won't let you over. But I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure you've had that experience yourself, but it was pretty amazing.
Well, certainly similar experiences. And they do give us a lot of encouragement about furthering our research and studies so that we can have more reliable communication and contact of all kinds. It's really for the betterment of humanity, for enlightenment. We're challenged in so many directions now to keep our spiritual head above water.
Right.
And so the average individual needs to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's very important, especially when you hear negativity, either from other people, from people you know, or friends or family, or even the media, to not disregard it, but just remember that the white light is stronger than the dark, and no matter what happens, your attitude plays a part in that, and if you can have a positive attitude through anything, it really helps in almost any situation, I think.
Well, it certainly does. Very easy for individuals to really feel kind of deluged by chaotic forces. Mm-hmm. Today we have global mind, global news, instant global disaster impinging on us. Every moment of the day, and many people, of course, still struggling economically to hold things together.
Sure.
And all of these things make it difficult for us to give time to that spiritual side, and yet it's more important than ever now.
The studio just lit up again as you were saying that, Rosemary, and they're saying, thanking you. You said something very interesting, very profound just now. Thanks.
Well, and here's another thing about the spiritual help, too, is we really do need to ask for it. It's around us and available to us all the time. It's ready to light up at a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to pay attention. We have to ask for it. And in asking for it, we have to be willing to put action to our word, so to speak, our money where our mouth is. If we ask for help, then we're going to have to follow up with some course of action.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. One thing I wanted to ask you about, it's taken me some years to do this, but I've been able to access my previous lives as well as this, as of course this one as well. And back in 1996, I'll never forget the time when Dolores Cannon, when she was alive, she gave me a reading. And I didn't ask her to do this, but she propelled me to the year 100 years ahead in the year 2096, where I was a Pleiadian on a Pleiadian spacecraft orbiting planet Earth, and I was a flight engineer in a light blue suit, and right next to me was a blonde-haired woman with long blonde hair, and she was also working the controls with me, another engineer. And I remember looking out over the planet and how beautiful and peaceful it was. And we'd had some trouble, but the planet itself had undergone a wonderful spiritual transformation. And I don't know, have you been able to access your past lives, and or perhaps go into the future, Rosemary, as to what you've done in the past? And
I have explored a number of past lives, and I do past life regression for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I even hesitate to call it past life regression because it's in the truest sense of the word, other life.
Mm-hmm.
Other life recall is probably the best term for it because,
sure.
You know, once we get beyond the bounds of linear time, everything's in an ever-present now, and these
right.
Parts of our multidimensional selves are having simultaneous experiences, enriching the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And many people, myself included, feel that we're either from somewhere else or we've had significant experiences somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people today who really feel like they didn't come from Earth, and
right.
Some people even feel like they don't belong on Earth. They're having a hard time with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to take these views very seriously. It's not always a case of just someone not being well adjusted from Earth terms.
Mm-hmm.
There are no black and white you know, definitive ways to separate a lot of these different strands of you know, psychology out, but nonetheless I think it is legitimate that many people are at least somehow in touch with the fact that they are from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
If not originally, at least they've had other life experiences somewhere else, and that information is important to them now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ted, I think that it's almost impossible to count up past lives
mm-hmm.
because there are probably too many for any one person to remember in any given lifetime. We would just simply be overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to naturally tune in or feel the energy of those lifetimes which are meaningful to us in the one that we're centered in.
Right.
And so one of the questions to ask is, why are so many people feeling off-world connections?
Mm-hmm.
And what are they bringing in from those incarnations
mm-hmm.
that are so needed here on Earth? And
mm-hmm.
I think that's really where the crux of the matter is.
Sure.
That they've all come here because there's something from these otherworldly consciousnesses and lifetimes and experiences that need to be grounded and anchored on Earth to change the energy of the planet, the energy of humanity, and also, last but not least, further the individual soul growth as well.
Right, right. Well, I've also been in touch psychically with Michel de Nostradamus during the past 6 or 8 months, and he said that about 4 or 5 years ago, the timeline changed from one of disaster and really a lot of really hard things that humanity would have had to deal with to a far better and far happier timeline. And that change was instituted about 4 or 5 years ago. So now I think with people, when they feel they feel they don't belong here, or they feel an urge, for example, to make this planet a better place and a happier place, that's all part of it. Nostradamus himself has said that it's the process has already started now, but it'll accelerate in the 2020s and 2030s, where we will experience a true spiritual evolution and revolution, accumulating in what he says is 1,000 years of spiritual growth. After which we will become a true spacefaring species, much like Star Trek, going off into the heavens. But it'll be a very different. It'll be a far better, far happier, and much more harmonious planet and positive planet than we've ever experienced in our lifetime, I believe, for the future.
I'm very optimistic about humanity because even though we've gone through cycles where we seem to lift up spiritually and then sink back,
mm-hmm.
Human beings have a tremendous capacity to overcome obstacles and to keep striving for something better and higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are at one of the most important crossroads of humanity, mainly because of technology.
Right.
And that technology enables us to form thought forms and united consciousness in ways never, ever before in the history of this planet. And that
mm-hmm.
is a tremendous force. Most people have no idea how powerful thought is
oh, yeah.
in terms of creating reality.
Well,
so
mm-hmm.
that's why it's so important for us to pursue these spiritual aspects of consciousness, so that we direct things collectively in the most positive way.
Well,
and that is going to profoundly change the planet. It will change the physical body. It will change the nature of reality. And this has been foreseen by great thinkers and mystics throughout the ages.
Absolutely.
It's just happening almost at exponential speed now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I have to tell you that before he passed away last year, Dr. Masaru Emoto, of course, and I'm sure you know his work, was a wonderful guy, who found that water has memory and water has consciousness as well. And when people directed positive thoughts at water, the molecular structure of the water turned into these beautiful water crystals, Rosemary. But then when people directed negativity or hate toward water, it would break down molecularly and it looked terrible. And that extended to all kinds of things. It can be to cleaning up the planet, cleaning up pollution, to making a better world, a better, happier world. Our thoughts are things, as my foster mother, wonderful psychic foster mother, used to say. So you have to be careful of your thoughts and always maintain a positive attitude, because the thoughts in the fifth dimension, which people think about, actually do materialize, can and do materialize in the third. So thoughts do matter, even though you don't see them. They do materialize later in this dimension.
They matter quite a bit, mm-hmm. and I get very disturbed when I see carelessness, like in the popular culture media, about
sure.
You know, it isn't important. You know, our thoughts aren't all that important. Or
right.
I even once read an article about how you could get back at your enemies by thinking ill against them, and that would be okay because it wasn't actually doing anything against them. And we can't afford that kind of ignorant.
Yeah.
Thinking anymore, and especially in a media form that's going to reach a wider and perhaps very suggestible audience.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and it's always good to be grateful. I was in Tokyo in May a couple of months ago, Rosemary, and I took the wonderful Huddle School there. And one of the things that they teach is love and gratitude. So instead of looking at a glass of water, for example, as being half empty, always look at it as half full. And if you look at the positive things of life and try to be grateful for what you have, it changes your viewpoint completely from that of being perhaps depressed or negative to one of positiveness. And because of the law of attraction, if you think positive, you'll attract more positive things into your life.
For some people, this can happen quite rapidly. And for other mm-hmm. people, it's a little slower curve, but it still does happen. It all depends on
sure.
what all you've got going on in your life and how you're approaching everything.
Oh,
but
sure.
you know, there, in addition to Emoto's work, which I've always been very impressed with, and so right on. He's absolutely
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
the same experiments have been done with things like plants.
Sure.
And if you direct happy thoughts toward growing things, they flourish. And if you
right.
direct negative thoughts toward them, they suffer and wither and even die.
That's right.
And similar work has been done with sound. And this is what I think is very, very important in our culture now, because
fascinating.
The pop music that so many people listen to, especially our young people, is
right.
filled with discordant rhythms, very harsh, irritating, abrasive sound.
Right.
And lyrics which are very demeaning.
Right.
Very demeaning, and it's all about self-gratification, well, gratifying yourself in terms of your pleasures and desires.
Right.
Sexual things, and me, 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 look at me, everybody wants to be me. Right. And it's no wonder that people are feeling more aggressive, because this music has a very negative effect on
oh, yeah.
on mood and emotion.
That's right.
And the work of Hans Jenny in Cymatics mm-hmm. demonstrates this so well, that you know, he was an engineer who found a visual way to show the effect of sound on the physical world. And
oh, fascinating.
Some of those experiments, he would take discs with a layer of sand on them
mm-hmm.
and then put sound to vibrate the disc, and the sand would naturally gravitate into patterns. And
wow.
with harmonious sound. The patterns were quite lovely, almost like the water crystals that Emoto showed in his work.
Sure.
And discordant sound was chaos. It was just total chaos.
Amazing, amazing. I was. It was about 15 years ago when I was in Virginia. Actually, I can't remember where what I was doing. Well, I think I was doing some traveling on business. And I had rented a car. I'll never forget the day I was listening to some of that music, which was very discordant on the radio. And some spirits came in, my spirit family, and said they really didn't like the music and could I turn it off? And so I did. And they were happy. And I'll never forget that. That stuck in my mind ever since. That was when I first started communicating with the other side many years ago.
But now we have it on all sides. It's on television, it's in films, commercials.
Oh, yeah.
You go to the gym, you know, it blasts out from the speakers, you're in the stores. And people have no idea how important sound is in their mental, spiritual, and even physical health.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's being sold to culture up one side and down the other by, you know, big industry.
Right. Well, their days are numbered, and as James said, actually, there was a really funny, I should send you this link, but he was interviewed by the Australian film crew when I was there just before the E-City, before the UFO conference, Rosemary, and one of his interesting quotes he said in this YouTube video, I'll send it to you, is that resistance is futile with respect to good change, because it is coming, and the negative music eventually just will fall by the wayside. I had another a wonderful astrologist on my show a little more than a year ago named Susan Miller from New York City. And she said something very profound in my show back last year. She said that this last year and the rest of this decade into the 2020s and 2030s would be a time of truth for humanity, in which those truths which are true will become even truer, but those things are negative and false will fall by the wayside and become irrelevant and no longer important. So, you know, I think you've made a very important point about the music, and people should be aware of that. But I think as people's consciousness is raised and we go into this, into the higher dimensions, that kind of negative music will, the market will dry up. There won't be a market for it anymore. And so the music that you hear now, you simply will not hear as much anyway 5 or 10 years from now.
Well, it will have to change, because as consciousness changes, people will not be able to tolerate that.
Right. Right, absolutely. Absolutely. And they won't be able to tolerate our military going into over 130 countries around the planet, fighting in a Middle Eastern war that goes on for decades with no end in sight, with endless killing and endless hatred and endless battle. That will come to an end as well, because I think the basic nature of humanity is to be benevolent and positive, not to be in this constant fighting mode all the time.
Many people would like to see that happen. Mm-hmm. Over the course of history of the Earth, it's been constant combat.
Right.
There has been contentiousness, fighting, rebellions, oppression, in an ongoing loop throughout human history. And if we're ever going to make any sort of a break for the spiritual big time, so to speak, we have to get past this loop. We have to overcome that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rosemary, we're on the same page, my friend, and I'm so glad you shared that, because I think for the light forces against the dark forces, their resistance is futile, and eventually they're going to find themselves outnumbered, and they will be transformed as well. So, well, tell me, Rosemary, what are your plans for the future? I know you've written many, many wonderful books, and how do people get your books and articles?
My main website is visionaryliving.com.
Okay.
And I have my calendar there. You can sign up for my free e-newsletter. I've got my newsletter archives and some articles from some of the things that I write about. I have over 60 books published. So
wonderful.
They cover quite a breadth of topics. I have my favorite areas that I work in a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But almost anything in the paranormal or metaphysical that might cross your a path of interest, I've probably addressed it in some way in one of my books. And of those 60 books, 9 of them are single-volume encyclopedias and reference works. So quite a bit just in those in general. But I'm always working on new projects. I have multiple books going at any given time. So I just have a new book out that came out this past week called Guide to Psychic Power. And it is a very comprehensive guide to developing all of your senses for psychic clarity. And also ways that you can manifest that. So that's my very newest, just came out last Friday. I gave a workshop at East West Bookshop in Seattle on the subject. And this coming weekend, I'm going to be at Vision Quest in Everett, where I will be talking about connecting to the angel realm, something that's been near and dear to me my whole life.
Wonderful.
And I have a new book that came out about a month ago called Calling Upon Angels, How Angels Help Us in Daily Life, that features a lot of the material that I'll be talking about. So my life, Ted, is quite varied. I spend a lot of time, obviously, researching, interviewing, and writing, but I am on the road quite a bit because I do a great amount of lecturing and presenting all over the country and internationally as well. So at any given time, I've got multiple irons in the fire and books in various stages of progress, and it keeps me on the go, and it's also extremely interesting. I feel very blessed to be on this path.
Well, I'm so happy you're on this path too, Rosemary, and I'm so grateful that you came on today. I bought one of your books at the UFO conference, and I think I'll go back online and buy some more here after we get off the air. So I appreciate you sharing that with us. We've got a few minutes left before we'll have to go, unfortunately, but I'd love to have you give some closing words to my audience, please.
Boy, that's a tall order. So many directions I could go in on that one, Ted. But my overall message for people is one of optimism, that no matter how bleak things look today, in personal life or in a larger perspective, we have the power to make tremendous change. Every individual has the capability and the power to add important energy and forces to the collective. And the spiritual help is around us all the time. It's immediately available to bring out things that need to be healed and to heal things, more creativity and satisfaction in life, and a greater awareness of who we are, why we're here, and where we fit into the great cosmic scheme. Those are all part of our natural birthright, our soul birthright. And sometimes we can get disconnected from that in the fray of daily living.
Sure.
But it's very easy to get reconnected to that. And I think powerful things are happening now for individuals and for humanity as a whole. And my invitation is, come on and join in.
Wonderful, Rosemary. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show again today. And I hope the rest of your stay here in the Northwest is wonderful. And thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time today.
My pleasure, Ted. Thank you very much.
All right, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, friends. That was a wonderful pre-recorded interview I had with the very, always very interesting and famous famous American psychic, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. In about 1 minute, we'll be ending this hour and going on to our next guests, including Michiko Hayashi from the wonderful Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, and Kristen Hoffman from New York City, a famous American singer. They will be talking about the wonderful concert that they had in Tokyo on July 20th, 2015, that was dedicated to the life and work of the wonderful late Dr. Masaru Moto. The program will also be dedicated next hour to the children of Fukushima. That's because the Omoto Peace Project, of which Michiko Hayashi is the head of it, sends angel water to the children of Fukushima to prevent them, to help these kids prevent them from getting cancer. She does wonderful work, and I want to dedicate the next hour to her work, to Kristen's work, and also to the work of Dr. Masaru Moto and the children of Fukushima to help them out. Please stay tuned for our next hour, which will be truly out of this world. Thank you so much for listening.